A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Metzia Daf Yutes, Baba Metzia 19b, pagination is 38. Starting at the end of the Daf, the last five lines at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Matzah Shover, if a person finds a receipt that a ksuba was paid. Ksuba is the document that the husband gives to the wife at the time of the chuppah, the marriage. It has to remain intact throughout their marriage. And apparently this man and woman divorced, and there's a receipt that the ksuba was paid. Bizman sha'ish amoda, if the woman agrees that the shover, the receipt, belongs to the husband because he already paid, yachsa lebal, then you return it to the husband, and it acts as a receipt. Ein ha'isha moda, but if the woman does not admit that it goes to the husband, lo yachsir lo lozeh v'lo lozeh, we should not return it, not to him, not to her. We're concerned that it was actually a discarded document. We found it on the street. What happened here? And we're worried what it might imply if we give it to either of them. The Gemara considers, Bizman sha'isha moda miyas yachse lebaal, when the woman agrees, so we give it to the husband. Veleichush, why aren't you concerned of the following scenario? Dilma kasva litin benissen, maybe the wife wrote the shover intending to give it in Nisan, v'lo nosna ad Tishrei, but the money actually was not paid until Tishrei, and that's when the divorce occurred. V'ozla zavinta l'ksuba betovas hana min Nisan ve'ad Tishrei, and she needed cash right away, so she sold the ksuba during those months between Nisan and Tishrei, maybe Shavuos time, she sold it. Umapik leile shover, and now, if this receipt is pulled out as if it was paid in Nisan, meaning as if it was paid before she sold it, dechsev benisan, va'asa lemitref lekucha shelo kedin, she's going to deny payment to the buyers improperly. Let's consider what actually happened, and let's consider what it looks like it happened if we return the receipt. What actually happened was, she was not divorced until Tishrei. She sold the ksuba value to somebody else as a speculative document, which maybe will get paid. There's such a market for this. If she gets divorced, or if the husband dies before her, then this value will get paid. So they'll pay less than that to buy that right, to buy that possibility. In joking terms, so we say, you know, they're betting on the marriage. But that's what's happening. They're buying the ksuba rights. And in reality, since she wasn't divorced until Tishrei, they indeed purchased an item of value. What happens, however, is she pulls out this shover, this receipt, and is saying that it should go to the husband. So if she would still be holding it, that's fine. That's the way it normally happens. But over here, it seems, since it was found on the street, like a discarded document. And therefore, we start wondering if maybe she wrote the receipt, the divorce never occurred, therefore this receipt was discarded, she sold the ksuba in the interim, which was a valid sale, and she didn't get divorced till Tishrei. If we give that shover to the husband, it looks like she was divorced. It looks like the sale she made Shavuos time was totally irrelevant because she was no longer married what she's selling her ksuba for, and it was already paid up in Nissan. And these buyers get left out in the cold. Their only recourse is to go to her, if she has money, and claim that she should refund payment on what they paid for her ksuba. Firstly, they might not get the money from her. Secondly, that's not the amount they're entitled to. They're entitled to much more. They're entitled to the entire ksuba because everything played out the way it was anticipated. And this shover that was found on the street, discarded, is actually messing things up and very misleading. Amar Rava, Rava answered, the reason that we return the shover to the husband if she says it should go to him and we're not worried about the buyers that might have been, Shema Mina Isa Lede Shmuel. That's because we hold like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Hamocha Shtar Chov L'Chaveiro, if a person sells a debt to his friend, V'chazer U'machlo, and then he forgives the debt, Machl, it works. The Mechila works, and the buyer of the debt is left out in the cold. What's the logic of Shmuel? If a person structures this sale such that the debt is still going through him, the malva, the person who lent the money, as a middleman, then he's still an active player. And if at some point he's mochalit, it's all a chain. If you break one link in the chain, it's no longer valid. Let's use actual names to make it easier. Yaakov loans money to Reuven. Reuven now owes the money to Yaakov. Yaakov needs cash now. So Yaakov sells this debt to Shimon. Now, one way of looking at this is very simple, that Reuven owes the money to Shimon. But that's not really what's happening, Shmuel says. Really what's happening is that Reuven owes it to Yaakov, who's then going to turn it over to Shimon. And therefore, if at any time Yaakov is mochel the debt evaporates, and Shimon has no claim. What could be done, and should be done, is that Yaakov should rewrite this debt, transferring it to Shimon so that he pulls himself out of this transaction, or he can even do that as a kinyan, where he's transferring the debt to Shimon, and then the deal would be from Reuven to Shimon, and Yaakov cannot be mochel the debt. This is described in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Samech Vav, Seif Chaf Gimel. If, however, as happened over here, that Yaakov stayed in as a player, his mechila is going to affect the loan. Now, interestingly, he may be liable for damaging Shimon by being mocha the debt, because he's creating chasva ba'alma, he's creating a worthless document as a result, and it could be he's going to be liable for that, but that liability is going to go through him and not through Reuven, and that liability is not going to be subject to achrayis nechasim liens, because you're no longer collecting the original debt that operated with documentation. Now you're collecting hezek, damage, done by Yaakov. It changes the dynamic totally. In any case, the reason that we're not worried that this shover is not supposed to be returned to the husband, and that by returning it to the husband, you're messing up any people who might have bought the ksuba in the interim, is because this debt, if indeed it was sold, is still going through the woman, and the woman still is able, if she wants to mess these people up, she's able to be mochel the debt. And the buyers, when they bought it, understood that she's still the player and she could still do that. The Rush explores whether she would pay the hezek on the mechila, as we discussed, if that's going to be a liability over here, or in the other case where she's returning the shover improperly, maybe she's only going to be liable to refund the sale that never really happened, because according to the shover, she was divorced and the ksuba had been already paid. These amounts are not the same. And therefore, this entire thing would have to be unraveled and figure out what the liabilities really are. But it at least helps us enough to understand why the shover would be returned to the husband if she claims it is his, because she could be mochel the whole thing. And therefore, the damage that could be done by returning the shover to the husband, and therefore us being concerned that it was a discarded shtar, is not really a legitimate fear, because if she wanted to damage them, she could damage them in a much bigger way by simply being mochel the entire debt. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.